Chapter 24. Something was picking at Drake's skin, clawing and pecking. His eye was closed, but he pictured Greg leaning over him, placing mutilated insects in his mouth, preparing to eat his flesh.
"Get back!" he cried, sitting up.
Shapes fluttered away from him, carrion birds filling the air with noise as they launched, thrashing their wings and screaming. A pale light was coming from somewhere, and as Drake's vision cleared, he saw that they were not birds, but angular approximations of birds, flat, triangular plates of metal joined together by blades of the same lustrous ore. Some of them were still on him, jamming their blades into his legs, and he waved his arm weakly, shooing them away. He looked down at his body and gasped. He looked worse than any of the wretches he had encountered in the skeins, bloody, burned and covered in lesions. His heartbeat was less erratic, but the grinding pulse in his head was louder, causing his teeth to clatter as though he were freezing. He probably was freezing. There was frost all over his exposed patches of skin, and his breath escaped in glittering plumes. The bird things had scattered, so he tried to sit up and look around. His arms were weak, but he managed to get upright and even stand, swaying slightly as he looked into the half-light. The Blackstone was playing tricks on him again. He was back where he very first started. Ahead of him was the broad, diamond-shaped plateau they had left the vanguard on. He could not see the shuttle, but he knew that if he walked the half a mile or so to the exit, he would see it, waiting patiently on the landing platform, his deck crew inside. For a moment, Drake wondered if all of his struggles had led him back to his own ship. Then he laughed in disbelief. On the far side of the chamber, a few hundred feet from where they had first entered the Blackstone, was a tall, narrow aperture. It had not been there when they first landed, he was sure of it. Even in the half-light, he would have noticed such a specific design. He shook his head in wonder. The stones arrayed around the doorway were formed into a colourless mosaic, an image of a spherical cage, just like the one on the sketch he was carrying. It was a clear, deliberate signal that this was the route he needed. With more certainty than ever before, he felt the Blackstone speaking to him, guiding him, offering him a way in. He was about to rush across the chamber when he remembered what happened last time. His blood had triggered an avalanche of drones. He looked down at his ruined body. He was a wreck, but none of his wounds looked like they would spill much blood, just the small punctures where the winged creatures had been pecking him and the blisters where the electricity had burned through his skin. The more serious injuries, like the hole where Korval had shot him, had already been bound. At the thought of Korval, his excitement faltered. He still felt shocked and wounded by the betrayal. Even now he could not understand it. What could have driven Korval to such an act? And what was he doing now? What might he do to Isola and the others? He shook his head. There was nothing he could do but keep going. The Blackstone had offered him a way to reach the vault, and he could not go back. He had to seize this chance. Everything else would have to wait. He headed off through the shadows, struggling to walk in a straight line, keeping his gaze locked on the distant door. As he went, Drake noticed that the winged drones had returned in greater numbers, whirling overhead, clattering and screeching. Despite his exhaustion, he picked up his pace, trying to run as they swooped down towards him, letting out shrill scraping noises as he lashed out at them with his rapier. One of them latched onto the back of his neck, stabbing through his coat and tearing his skin. He sliced it in two, then fired off a few shots, kicking more of the drones from the air and dispersing the others. Before they recovered enough to attack again, he sprinted on, reaching the doorway and left the hall. On the other side of the doorway was a wall of blackness, so Drake did not notice the absence of a floor. He plummeted through the air and landed with a splash in another channel of black liquid. He had reached the source of the noise in his head. He was in an enormous valley, a smooth-sided chasm with a river of oil running down its centre.
Up ahead of him, at the far end of the valley, was what looked like a fallen star, turning slowly in the air, spraying lines of silver through the darkness. It would have been a beautiful scene if not for the ferocity of the destruction smashing through it. Walls and ceilings were collapsing everywhere he looked. It was an apocalypse to match the visions painted on Thaddeus's barge. The noise was no longer in his head, but all around him, tearing the air apart with its violence. The sphere of light was the Oscurus Vault, Drake had no doubt. He could see the spherical cage within the blaze, but there was no time to feel exultant. Slabs of the fortress were crashing down all around him, hurling him across the river on great surges of oil. It was clearly not sprung from the same source as the liquid in the canal, because it was harmless, but he was still likely to die if he didn't find shelter quickly. He struck out across the liquid, swimming as fast as he could manage, and reached a column that had toppled into the whirling currents. It looked like a vast arm reaching out into the depths. He clambered up onto it, using his grappling hooks, then stumbled along its length, struggling not to fall as more tremors jolted through the chamber. At the top of the crevasse, he turned and raced through the chaos, dodging and ducking as architecture thundered down all around him. He was making for the distant vault when he saw an incongruous flash of colour in the storm of black and grey. Red cloth, embroidered with gold sigils. It looked familiar. Drake veered off course to investigate. As he got closer, a violent rage boiled up through him. It was Korval's cloak. It was ripped and scorched, but still intact, and it was stretching down into another, smaller chasm that had opened alongside the main one. The force of the avalanche was still growing, like a measure of Drake's rage, as he rushed towards the fissure. He was a few feet away when the floor gave way, sundering with a sound like the crack of brittle bones. He tried to halt, but his momentum was too great and he toppled into the crevice. Drake bounced painfully off ridges and jagged edges before managing to lash out with his grappling hook and halt his fall. He was hanging onto the hook by one hand, his feet dangling over the maelstrom and his head battered by a shower of falling debris. The hook began to slide, carving down through the wall, as Drake grasped wildly with his other hand, trying to latch onto something. Before he could find a handhold, the hook gave way and he fell. Drake kicked hard against the wall, diving for a narrow ledge on the far side of the drop. He slammed hard against it, breath exploding from his lungs, but managed to hang on. He hauled himself up onto the ledge and cursed. He had reached Korval. The navigator was a few feet below him, trapped and bleeding, but still alive. Korval was sitting at an awkward angle, pressed onto a narrow ledge with his legs trapped beneath the shard of fallen wall as more debris crashed down around him. The noise was growing louder all the time, and it could not be long before they were both smashed into the abyss. Korval recoiled at the sight of Drake and reached for his pistol. His hand bashed uselessly against the slab, pinning him to the ground. The pistol was strapped to his thigh, beyond his reach. Drake whipped out his own gun and pointed it at Korval, gripping the shuddering ledge with his other hand. His mouth was full of bile as he considered how Korval had brought him to this terrible situation, but before he fired, he cried out over the din.
"Why?"
Korval began to shake. Drake thought he was dying, but then he realized he was laughing.
"Did you think you could outrun your past forever, Janus?"
"What do you mean?"
Korval stopped laughing and shook his head. He slumped against the ragged wall.
"What do you mean?" cried Drake again. "What do you know of my past?"
The violence in the chamber ebbed slightly, as though the Blackstone were pausing to listen.
"Just kill me."
Even through the mouth grill of Korval's helmet, Drake could hear the dejection in his voice.
"I am a lie."
Korval reached up to his star-shaped helmet and flicked back the catches, pulling the faceplate away. Drake almost fell from his perch in shock. The navigator's face was gaunt and unnaturally aged, but he recognized it instantly.
"Numa."
The navigator shook his head,
You killed Numar, Yanis. Not in the way you thought, but you killed me all the same.
Drake lowered his pistol, dazed and horrified. Corval patted his chest.
The wound you gave me was deep, Yanis, but my father would not let it take me. House Numar has resources. They pumped me full of drugs, then they pumped me full of things that have no right to exist.
He grimaced, his eyes full of shame.
Unspeakable things.
They kept you alive?
Drake's mind was ablaze.
His father had ordered him from Terra because he had murdered a noble, risking an ancient allegiance between two proud houses. But there was no murder.
Corval's voice was full of vitriol.
They did not keep me alive, Yanis. They just gave me a more shameful death.
He pounded his chest, his face contorted by hate.
Nature will not be denied. The cells of my body rebelled at their intervention.
He touched the sash across his forehead. Like all navigators, his third eye was always kept hidden until he used it to pierce the veils of the warp.
We are a blessed family, he said. Too blessed.
His voice was full of agony and doubt.
House Numar is not all that it should be.
Drake shook his head, confused.
I'm grotesque, said Corval. I am damned. The wound you gave me was clean. It would have given me a clean death. But under their care, it festered. It became something else, something hateful.
Corval's voice was ragged with emotion.
You and my father made me a monster, Yanis.
He touched the sash.
I can no longer look into the warp. If I did, the result would be so violent it would destroy me. Do you understand? Do you understand what that means? A navigator who can no longer see? You ruined me.
He leant forwards, pointing an accusing finger at Drake.
So I came looking for you. My father wanted me to rot in his vaults, until I was too dangerous to live even there. But I will not die unavenged. So I abandoned Terra and abandoned my name. I stole and I lied and I became Corval. And I hunted you down, Yanis. I refused to die until I saw you die.
Drake's rage faded as he saw the ruin he had wrought on his friend. Then he thought about what this could mean for him.
My father banished me because I killed you, Drake muttered. If he knew the truth...
Oh, he knew, laughed Corval. They have no secrets, your father and mine. They agreed that you would never return to Terra. You were too much of a risk. We were both too much of a risk. You were so desperate to be the perfect son that you became the opposite. All those needless duels and ill-considered deals. You were bringing House Drake into disrepute.
And my father had to be rid of me because of... His voice faltered.
Because of what I became. Because of what I am now. Neither of us could be seen. Our fathers ruined us, Yanis. And then they had to hide their wretched mistakes.
Drake pictured his father's face the last time they met, recalling how he avoided meeting his eye. Corval was telling the truth. His father knew. More than anything the Blackstone had thrown at him, the revelation crushed him.
His father had known Numar was alive, but let his own son leave Terra, carrying the guilt for a non-existent murder.
No, he realized. That was not true. He had killed his friend. The deed had just stretched across the decades, creating this wretched thing before him.
How could he lie? I did everything he taught me, said Drake. I was honorable.
I was honest. I was noble.
Corval stopped laughing, his tone bleak.
Nobility? What does that even mean? Look where it got us, Yanis.
There was a loud cracking sound as the ledge holding Drake started to split. Drake looked around for another handhold, but there were none. If he didn't move soon, he would be as doomed as Corval.
Go,
muttered the navigator. But kill me first.
You hesitated, said Drake.
What?
You could have killed me, but you hesitated to shoot.
After hunting me for so long.
Corval laughed again.
True. I failed even at that.
Maybe we're better than them, said Drake.
What do you mean? Who?
The liars who raised us. Maybe we're better than our fathers.
Corval looked at him, confused. Then he looked into the middle distance, considering what Drake had said. Slowly the anguish faded from his eyes, and something else flickered there. Drake could not place the emotion, but in it he recognized the friend he had lost all those years ago in the Basilica of St. Sepius.
Do you remember our credo? He asked.
To strive, to seek, to find, said Corval, without hesitation.
And not to yield, finished Drake.
It was a fragment of an elegy by some forgotten versifier called Lord Tenson, a line of verse from prehistory, from the days before the High Lords and the Imperium, a relic of thought from old Earth.
To strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield,
Corval quoted the line again.
What can I strive for now, Yanis? He said, his voice barren.
He touched the sash over his third eye again.
To die before I cause harm. Nothing more than that.
Drake looked around at the ruined chamber.
We did not come here by chance.
Corval nodded.
I feel that too.
Then what does the Blackstone want with us? Said Drake. It led you to me and led us both to its heart. Why? Simply so that we can die? I don't think so.
He reached out across the drop, extending his hand to Corval. Corval looked up at him, shocked.
Help me down, said Drake. Let me get that thing off you. Our fathers may be liars, but we don't have to be.
Corval shook his head, but then, a moment later, he reached up. Drake grabbed his hand.
Can you take my weight?
Corval nodded. Drake hesitated. Corval had already tried to kill him. This could be a ruse. If the navigator loosed his hand, Drake would be smashed on the rocks below. They stared at each other. Then Drake stepped from the ledge, and Corval held his weight, hauling him to his side.
And not to yield, said Drake.
Corval nodded. They grabbed the block on Corval's lap and heaved it aside, sending it smashing into the darkness below. The chamber had begun attacking the vault again, and walls were falling around them. Drake lifted Corval to his feet and found to his relief that the navigator's legs were not broken. As Corval replaced the mask of his cerebrum cowl, Drake slammed his hook into the wall and stepped up onto another ledge. Then he reached back and grabbed Corval's hand, and they began to climb, helping each other as they went. A few minutes later, they clambered up onto the floor of the chamber together and ran towards the blazing light.